Romans chapter 5, verse 15 and to the end of the chapter. And then I'll just quote you, read to you from my notes, just a short passage, and then I've got an activity I want you to participate in. Okay, so just read with me as we go. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "But the gift is not like the trespass. For if by one man's trespass the enemy died, and how much more the grace of God and the gift which comes through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. And the gift is not like the one man's sin, because from one sin came judgment, resulting in condemnation, but from many trespasses came the gift, resulting in justification. Since by one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, and how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ? So then, as though one trespass there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act there is justification leading to life for everyone. For just as though one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ." You know, as we read that, it just bounces back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And one man's sin, one man's righteousness. And it's all about one, you know. And God's only ever had one plan. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, this is in our theme at camp this year. But listen to what it says. "For He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." So, this group over here is going to say, "In, I am chosen." Okay? So you're going to say, "I am." And this group over here is going to say, "Chosen." Okay? And the devil's been beating me up all day about this. So if you don't participate, he's going to be right. Woo! So it's all on you, because I can get louder than every one of you, because I am not even going to speak. Okay? So, because Dean would turn me off if I tried to do that. Okay? Because I really did. I got into this at camp. So I am, and you guys say chosen. Okay? Are you ready? On the count of three. One, you're going to do it three times. One, two, three.
I am chosen.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that you chose us from the beginning of the world. I thank you, Father, that you have given yourself, your life, a part of you to come to heaven to earth to show us the way. And Father, you went from the earth to the cross and from the cross to heaven. Father, you have redeemed us. And I know I got that all wrong. But Father, just the fact of the matter is, Father, you have set us free. And we are free indeed. Father, in this country, we do have freedom. But Father, even more than that, we have freedom in Christ. And Father, that we can overcome sin. And Father, I just pray that you would speak through me today, that you would just use the words that I say to encourage and, Father, to convict and to build up Christians. Father, to bring us to the foot of Jesus Christ where we can worship you in truth. And Father, I just thank you for the opportunity today to preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read that in Romans, you may be seated. In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, Brother David talked about this week. Or last week, he talked about the sin. And, you know, Adam was in a perfect place. He was in a perfect garden. Adam wanted for nothing. Adam absolutely had it made. There was something for Adam in every bit of that garden. There was something for him to do, because God didn't create us just to sit around. He was to till and to tend that garden. He gave us dominion over the earth. He gave us dominion over the animals. He gave us dominion over the earth. And Adam had so much. And then he named all those animals. I mean, I don't even know how long that took him, but and what names he called him. But I'm telling you guys, he was a busy boy for a little while, and then he found there was no helper for him. And God said it was not good for man to be alone. And then he created a sleep to come upon Adam, and he'd already told Adam before he created Eve, he told him, he said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For on that day you eat from it, you will certainly die. And I don't know if God and Adam had this conversation about what death was, because he wasn't designed to die. He was designed to live on and on and on and on. And we see that fact in the fact that it took him 900 and some odd years to die. But God had a purpose for human beings in that time. But in the book of Ephesians where I read that, God knew that Adam was going to mess up. He knew it from the foundations of the world. He had a plan, one plan. You know, one plan. And he chose us in the foundation, from the foundations of the world in Ephesians chapter 4. But as you think about Adam and that beautiful garden, not a need in the world, and yet God used the very person that he put there to help Adam to get to Adam. And then as I think about this and as I've thought about it this week, I just want you to think about what Eve, the Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam had the direct command of God, and I can imagine him having that direct command from God, and them, I mean, we've got just a part of the conversation, I believe. I believe that God kind of narrowed it down for us a little bit, but I believe that he had that conversation about what death was and how it would separate him and how he would die physically. You know, but he died in two ways. He died Not only physically, but he died spiritually. He didn't get to walk with God anymore from that time. You know, and we're a race of people, and all of us came through Adam. That one sin changed everything about Adam. Inside him, outside of him, everything changed. That one sin caused the whole world to change. Now it brought death, and there was thorns, and there was thistles, and all this different stuff, but he started out in a very perfect place. There was no need for him to eat of that tree. And it didn't change until he ate of the tree. Why was that? Well, I've heard people say, well, Eve was the one that ate of the fruit. We need to blame her. No, you as the man are the head of the household, and you are the one that's supposed to be leading your family, and you are the one God's going to judge when it comes to your family and how you handled all those things. If you're a man and you're a husband, you're sitting here today, let me tell you, you're responsible. I'm responsible. And I've made mistakes, and I know I've made mistakes. But he was responsible, and that shows us that he was responsible for that. He could have said, Eve, why'd you do that? God didn't want us to. I don't know what would have happened if he'd have done that. I have no clue. My mind, my imagination can run wild. But that's not what happened. See, he was the first one that failed to peer pressure. If you want to look at it that way. Because Eve ate, he thought, oh no. God said we was going to change and we was going to die. And he took and ate of it. Actually, I don't think he thought that at all. I think Eve had talked to him about I think he heard the conversation between her and Satan, or her and the serpent. And he thought, yeah, maybe that's true. Just maybe, because all Satan did was create doubt. And he gave him something that might be true. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And I think he focused on that so much he forgot about the consequences. You know, sin is desirable for a season. The Bible says that. It's desirable for a season, and then it turns around and it bites you really hard. You know, as you think about Adam being the first man, and death and sin entered the world through that one man, because we all come through Adam. And when he changed, everything changed. Why do babies die? Why? They have never done anything wrong. You know, I see on Facebook a lot of times, pray for this newborn baby. But guys, it's because of sin. Why all these bad things that's happened, it's because of sin. It came through Adam. It came through him. Because he ate of that tree. And because we're of his lineage, because we're of his loins, we too are sinners. Now I've heard people ask, as I studied this week, I'll just tell you, as I was studying this week, I come across this question, and I've heard it asked before, but it says, why didn't God provide a way for angels to get saved? Well, they're not a race of people. When God created angels, he just created one and one and one and one and one, and they don't have children, they don't procreate, they don't do any of that stuff, and he would have to do that. But let me tell you something. They each made a choice. And when Adam chose, he infected the whole human race. We have diseases today that can infect the whole human race. You know, in America, we wash our hands often. We're told to wash our hands all the time, especially when it's cold and when the flu season comes around. We're told to wash our hands over and over. Did you wash your hands? We ask our kids that. Did you wash your hands? You know, and it's because there's unseen things in this world that can infect us. You know, as we think about Adam and Eve, they could physically see the serpent talking to Eve, and I don't know whether that was uncommon or not. I kind of think it was, but as they done that, and they took of the fruit and ate it, and Adam took of the fruit and ate it, then they felt ashamed. And the Bible said they hid, and they tried to sew leaves together. And I don't know, when you hear that story and you hear it told in Africa, you know, Sadie always says, well, how long does leaves last in Africa? You know, he talks about their original sin and how they sewed those leaves together. And I heard him do it twice this last time that me and Dale went. He talked about original sin. How long can you hide your sin from God? You can't. You can hide it from other people. But how many times would we be making leaf skirts to cover us up if that was the case? We'd be busy all the time, especially if you lived in Africa. You know, here in Missouri, they might last a little bit longer. And that's kind of the way our sin is. Sometimes it'll last for a longer period of time, but ultimately, they're going to dry up and they're going to get all crunchy and they're going to fall away and you're going to be exposed. And that's what Satan wanted. See, he wants to separate human beings from God. That's his main purpose. Why? Because he knows what God's like. He's been there, and he chose to try to be like God. On your listening sheet, Adam had only one command to obey. Just one. He was in a perfect place. He was in a perfect place. There was no reason for him to do that. He didn't have any reason to doubt what God had told him. He didn't have any reason to doubt what God told him other than he believed Satan's lie or his deception. And the desire of Adam and Eve was to become more like God. Okay? That's what Satan had promised him. You will be like God. You know, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They just wanted something more. I often wonder how many years did they actually get to walk and talk, or how many months, or how many days after they were created? How long was it? You know, we don't know that. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says that Adam sinned. That Adam only had one thing that he couldn't do, and that was eat of that tree. All right, just that one thing. And his desire was to be more like God. And in our lives, let's bring that down to us. What's our desire? We want to rule and reign. We want everything to be on our terms in our lives, especially when we're young. We want to catch the world by the tail. We want everything that our mom and dad's had, and we want it right now. Even though they may have worked years to get what they got, we want to have those things. And some of us can get those things right now, but some of us can't. And sometimes it leads us astray. The desires of our heart will lead us astray because we want the things We want this world. We want the things. Okay? The desire of Adam and Eve is to become more like God. But Adam's disobedience affects the whole human race because we all came through Adam. Look back up at Romans 5:14 for me. Just above where I started. Pastor David talked about this last week. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression." He is the type of the one coming. See, from Adam to Moses, they didn't have any law. They didn't have anything. But they still died because they sinned as well. But yet, Adam's sin had infected them. And you may think, I thought of this week. I thought, you know, what if I was in the garden? What if God put me there? Let's just pretend it was Bradley and Carol. Okay? And I don't care about the fruit that tree had on it. Could I have not done that? We'll talk more about that here in a minute. But it's just a thought. I want you to think. What if it was you? What if it was you? But death reigned from Adam to Moses. And the reason I say that is because we didn't have the law. And the law is something that helps us get through life. We know what God expects because of the law. You know, in my personal time of studying, I don't do it. Sometimes I do it in the morning. Sometimes I do it at night. It just depends on my day. But I'm reading through the first five books right now. And I'm in Deuteronomy. And I don't know how many times it's repeated. The commandments are repeated. What's going to happen is repeated. Some different things happen, and the reason is because one generation was passing away, another one was coming along, and they needed to know this stuff, and Moses is writing to them. But let me tell you something. God, just like our kids, how many times do we have to tell our kids not to do something? Do I have to tell you again? You know? And the reason is because we need to hear it over and over and over again. David said last week, and I wrote this quote down because it meant a lot to me. He said, Jane McDonald said that sin is the cancer of the human race. It comes from James McDonald. And he said he could save the coroner a lot of time because every time he could just write down sin, cause of death, sin, cause of death, sin, because that's the way it works. But you know that God gave us a law in Exodus chapter 20. And Don't worry, it's not a gun. Okay? But it says down here in chapter 5, it says, "So then, through one trespass, there is condemnation for everyone. So through one righteous act, there is justification leading to life. For just as one man's disobedience, the many were sinners, so also through one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." Listen to this. The law came along to multiply the trespass. Okay? To multiply the trespass. Now, if you looked at your life right now, let's say the last week, how many sins have you committed? How many thoughts entered your head? Maybe somebody pulled out in front of you on the freeway. Maybe they was driving too slow. Maybe they braked for somebody on the interstate. Being nice. But it slowed you down. What about the thoughts that enter our mind that nobody can ever see? Are those sins? If we dwell on them, guys, they are. And the Bible says in Galatians that the law multiplied our sin. And in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, listen to what it says. It says, "The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith came, we are no longer under a guardian." Galatians chapter 3, 24 and 25, it actually also says a schoolmaster. And I tried to find the translation that I learned that from, and I failed to do that. But I'm going to just pick on a couple of people. And I'm going to start with our pastor. Okay? And I ain't going to shine in his eyes, but just think about God shining the spotlight on David Brown. He don't like that much, see? I wouldn't like it much either. Let's turn it on Bradley James. Okay? But the law spotlights our sin. It enhances. And we need that in this dark world. Every one of us is a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the law, God, Jesus gave us the law to show us that even if it was Bradley and Carol, we would still fail. Okay? Sean told me that this got, there was three settings. You see it getting dimmer and dimmer, then it goes off. Guys, I'm telling you that as we go through life, the more that you live in the grace of God, the less you need the law. Because you know what? You've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But for people out in this world, they need the law. They need to know that if they was to die today in their sins, because of Adam's sin, every one of them is going to die. And that's the reason it bounces back and forth. Paul, as he writes in Romans here, he's trying to give them assurance of what has happened. Through one man, sin entered the world, but through Jesus Christ, sin is abolished in your life. And you have to do it personally. It can't be all in one. You can't accept it for everybody. Why did it happen that way for Adam? Because the Bible says that Jesus came to those who believed in Him. To those that are sick. He said the righteous don't need a physician, but the ones that are sick do. Okay? And I know I'm paraphrasing there, but let me tell you something. As we go through life, God gives us, each one of us, a choice to be obedient to Him or to be disobedient to Him. Whether it's the fruit on the tree or accepting Jesus. It's the same thing. It's the same thing with Noah. He believed God was going to send rain. He believed God was going to destroy the earth, and he built the ark. Moses, the same thing. He got up, he picked up his stuff, and he left his country. He got away from his father's house. See, his actions showed that he believed what God was going to do. And he knew that he had to do what God wanted him to do, or he wasn't going to be able to say that he was one of God's children. He couldn't inherit the promises as far as Abraham goes. And as far as Noah goes or Moses goes. Guys, I'm telling you, those guys done what God asked them to do. And Jesus paid that sin debt on the cross for you. He really did. Listen to what it says about Jesus. And it says it over and over again, but I just want to reread it to you. Okay? So then, as though one trespass, there is condemnation for everyone. So also through one righteous act, there is justification. Jesus' obedience to the Father. Number two. As you think about Jesus' obedience, think about how Jesus was perfect in all of His ways, but He wasn't in a garden. He wasn't in a perfect place. He was in a place where man hated Him for the most part. His mom, His family, His brothers, His sisters didn't even believe in Him. Yet He knew what the Father had called Him to do, and He was going to be obedient to His Father. When He was tempted in the garden, He hadn't ate for, or when He was tempted in the wilderness, He didn't eat for 40 days and for 40 nights. And Satan came to Him and tempted Him during that time. Now we know of three temptations, and every one of them He used Deuteronomy, which is the law, to defeat that. So what's that tell me? There's power in God's Word, and He believed God's Word, and that's what made it powerful. Guys, if we just use God's Word and don't believe what it really says, then there's no power there. But because we believe it, because we're going to follow it, then there's power in it for us. Jesus can help us overcome every temptation, every sin that's in our lives. He will help us overcome. And that's been proven true over and over and over in my life. And I hope it's been proven true in your life. But Satan just keeps finding new ways to tempt us while we're in this life. He does. I don't think he ever gets done. His work is never done because it's his job to drive a wedge. And you know, as we looked at the combinations there, but through one man, because we're a human race. But what's the clicker? What's the deal that makes us right with God? It's our belief. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3 verse 3, it says, we must be born again. And Nicodemus says, how in the world can that work? How can I enter my mother's womb for a second time? And Jesus said, you're thinking physical things. I'm talking about spiritual things, and you're way off base here. He said, are you a religious leader? Are you a teacher of Israel? And yet, if you ask people today, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. You go to church? Do you worship God? No. Guys, I tell you, you know, I believe that you can be a Christian and not go to church. I do believe that. But you're of no use to God without the body of Christ. My arm is not any use to me apart from my body. If it's laying out there, I can't control it. But as long as it's attached and I've got all them muscles running through there and all that stuff, and Rod would say, yeah, sometimes that don't even work. Even though it's still attached, it's not useful. Rod's got shoulder problems, by the way. But let me tell you something. When it's working right, it works. Okay? When it's attached to the body, it works. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus always obeyed the Father. He always focused on the Father's will. Always. Not my will, but thine be done. Didn't he pray that in the garden? What about you in situations in your life? Do you have the Father's will or Bradley's will and your focus as you focus on things? Jesus offers us the opportunity to be born into His spiritual family. Listen to this. I got this from one of my commentaries. It says, Jesus offers the opportunity to be born into the spiritual family, the family line that begins with forgiveness and leads to eternal life. If we do nothing, we have death through Adam. But if we come to God by faith, we have life through Christ. Okay? Abundant life. Abundant life. Now, does that mean I'm going to have everything I need, everything I want, everything that I desire? No. That's not what it means. But it means I'll be satisfied with the things that I have. Are we still going to be tempted? Absolutely. We are going to be tempted in this life. But Jesus overcomes all temptations if you will allow Him to. You know, when I feel anger or I'm getting mad at somebody because of something that's going on in my life or in my truck. Brother David talked about this last week. I think he was on his way to the camp, and he said that traffic was slowing him down, and then he had to refocus. Guys, just push pause. When you feel something inside of you that you know is purely just physical stuff, just push pause and focus on Jesus and say, Lord, will you please help me? If you're being tempted to do something that you know that is wrong, you know, just know that Jesus Christ paid for that sin. You know, He's already taken care of it. He's already taken care of it. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. I am the way, truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, as we go through life, if we will just accept that if we know Jesus, then we have life. I can't tell you that Brother David's saved or that you're saved or that you're saved or that you're saved. That's for you to decide. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you that He gives us assurance if we believe and follow Him and are obedient to Him so that we have fruit to show that we follow Him. Then I can say, I know that Pastor David has a heart for God because he shows it the way he loves people. Keith, the same way. are, and then, you know, we are going to be tempted. I know I am. I'm tempted to think, well, I wish this person would just get out of my way. And town is the worst for me. Okay? City driving's not for me. That's the reason God's never allowed me to move anywhere. Okay? I'm getting ready to, you pray for me. I'm getting ready to take a bunch of kids to St. Louis, and I'm going to be, hopefully, maybe I'll let Vonda drive. She told me she would do it. So maybe I'll just, you know, veg out and say, okay, go ahead, sister. But let me tell you something. When I was driving a truck, and I think I've told you this before, but when somebody makes a stupid decision to pull out in front of something that weighs 72,000 pounds and it's from three or four car lengths away, I'm telling you, that really gets me upset because I'm going to kill you. And I've prayed, you know, God help me. He has never allowed me to hit anybody. I tell Carol this all the time. I'm a professional driver, and I've only had a couple of wrecks in my life. And one of them was my fault, and one of them was. Okay? And I think that's pretty good in life, where you only have a couple of wrecks. I told her the other day, I've never rear-ended anybody. Well, that was a lie. Because Pete brought to the fact the other day, he was telling Briley about a time that I did rear-end something. You know, and it was a horse trailer. It wasn't a car, it was a horse trailer. Luckily, there wasn't no horses in it, or cattle either, as far as that goes. But let me tell you something. That's one of my weaknesses, and I know it. And God uses those spotlights. He uses my conscience, because everybody's born with a conscience. Every one of us is born with a conscience. And let me tell you something. When Jesus comes to live in here, then that conscience begins to be on spotlight duty. Okay, it brightens everything up for me. And it shows me where I'm truly at. And that I'm still a sinner in need of a Savior. And I'm thankful that God paid for that sin. Okay? I'm thankful. I'm going to read that statement one more time to you. Jesus offers the opportunity to be born into His family spiritually. The family line that begins with forgiveness and leads to eternal life. We do nothing. If we do nothing, we have death through Adam. Guys, let me tell you something. There's a whole world of people out here that are doing nothing. They think it's up to God. I talked to a young man yesterday. He said, well, it's up to God. I said, have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life? Yep, I have. I said, that's what it takes to be a Christian. He said, no, it's still up to God. They don't understand the gospel. I don't know whether he's saved or not. I wasn't going to tell him he wasn't. I'm definitely not going to tell him he wasn't. But I'll tell you this. I told him he needed to know that he was saved. And in 1 John chapter 2, it says that you can know that you know. And if you follow his commandments, then that's one of the ways that we know. If we have a desire to follow the commandments that God gave. But like I said, the longer we live in the Spirit, the longer we have the Spirit dwelling in us and we live by that Spirit, the more that those things that we do wrong is going to be accented. And we're going to know that they're there. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, in Christ, and Norm, you ain't got this one, in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now think about that for a minute. If you've believed in Jesus, old things have passed away and new things are coming into your life. Is that true for you? You can use that as a deal to look at your life. What have you left? What sins have you left because you know that they're against Jesus Christ? And what new things have you replaced those with? What new things are you doing? You know, one of those things is concern for the lost. If you have no concern for the lost that's out there in this world, then I have a problem with you saying you're a Christian and I don't have to go witness. Because I believe, even if you're scared to death to do it, okay? And I was one of those people, God, I'll mess that up. I used to say that all the time, God, I'm going to mess that up. But you know what? I'm not responsible. All I'm responsible to do is to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm responsible for. I'm not responsible for their decision. And even if I do mess it up, maybe I don't get the presentation right, and I don't. You can ask David, me and him haven't really went together on Can We Talk, but I mess that up just about every time. Number one, I haven't practiced it enough. And number two, I've been trained to do it a different way. And that's what I told him the other day. I said, I've been trained to do it a different way, and that different way is different. But let me tell you something. It still does the same thing. It presents the gospel. And Can We Talk has wonderful illustrations. And I use those illustrations sometimes. But as far as presenting the gospel as that plan, I don't get it right. And is that a sin? No, I'm speaking God's word. I'm still trying to tell them about the gift that God has given me. So let me tell you something. We're all commanded to go. Go therefore and make disciples. For all authority has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. And Jesus saying, all authority has been given to me, and I'll be with you, lo, to the end of the age. And guys, that's speaking to us. Jesus is with you. If you're a born again believer in Jesus Christ, He lives in here. Those who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will triumph over sin and over death. It didn't say maybe triumph. It says will triumph. All right? You can overcome the sin that is dragging you down in this life. You can overcome it. And it's through Jesus Christ. It's good to go talk to people. It's good to go to a counselor. Good to go to a therapist. Good to go to a psychologist. But Jesus Christ is what's going to get you through it. They can help you, yes. They can put you on the right train of thinking, yes. But Jesus is what is going to make the difference in your life. Through one man, sin entered the world. Through one man, He overcame sin. And you can too if you believe in Him and trust in Him and follow Him. Turn with me to Ephesians. I started there, I'm going to end there. Ephesians chapter 1. And this... Lord, why do you do this to me? I could preach a whole nother sermon. I mean, I've got time to do it, right? I've still got another 20 minutes. But listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. It says, in chapter 1, verse 3 of Ephesians, it says, blessed is the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, in Christ. For He chose us in Him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in Him before in love. Okay? He predestined us to adopt us as sons through Jesus Christ for Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace that He lavished on us in the Beloved One. Jesus is the Beloved One. Jesus is the one that does that for you. Jesus has already conquered what you're going through. But you have to submit to that. You have to say, I can conquer it because I know Jesus has already conquered it. It don't depend on you. It depends on Jesus. If you will just trust Jesus. Trust Him with that situation in your life. Pray about it. And I'm not going to say it's not going to be a struggle. Sin is a struggle. Addictions are struggles. Well, let me tell you something. He already overcame it. He's already died for it. You already have power over it through Jesus. Why do I have to struggle, you say? Well, that just makes you a better person to depend on Jesus. If He'd done a miracle every time, think about the children of Israel. How many miracles did they see Jesus do in Egypt? And they still... in the wilderness, they still complained. And they brought, you brought me out here to die. I don't know how many times they said that in those books to Moses. If I'd have been Moses, I'd just say, God, just swallow them all up. Please start with me again. You know what he prayed? He said, no, please, Jesus. Please, God. I'll take their sin. Kill me. He was going to sacrifice His life. And see, that's the way we got to be when we go out here to this world. Guys, let me tell you something. If we will sacrifice ourselves, we'll see people change in their lives. But we got to focus. Okay? Let me read just a little bit more in Ephesians. In Him, in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. That He richly poured out on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the majesty of His will according to His good pleasure that He purposed in Christ as a plan for the right time. You see that? A plan for the right time. Jesus has a plan. And you may not overcome that addiction today, and you may not overcome it tomorrow, but you will overcome it if you continue to believe and have faith in who He is. And as long as you keep trying, don't ever give up in this life. I don't care what you're going through, what health problems you go through. You know, as we go through life, there's going to be struggles. And those struggles can just make us a stronger and stronger Christian. But think of it, in Him, it just keeps saying that. Kind of like going back and forth. We have redemption in Jesus. We can overcome our sins in Jesus. Everything is in Jesus. Just what our last song that we sung today. It's in Jesus. We are predestined, the Bible says. Well, how does that work, you say? Well, that's a long story. Warren Wiersbe says, if you explain predestined away, your love will lose your soul or election. But think about it. John 3:16 comes into play as we get ready to close. And Mr. Keith and you guys can come. And as you think about it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish. The world is the people outside. I hope and pray everybody in here is saved. I don't know that though. Maybe you're struggling with addiction. Maybe you need to come and lay it at the feet of Jesus again because you took it up. I believe every time that we do, when we think about it and we contemplate it, then that's us picking that back up from the altar. Okay? And a lot of times we just got to say, Jesus, just help me through this. And that's laying it back down. You know, that's just one of those things that we've got to do, folks. So if you're here today and you don't know whether you're saved, now I believe that you can know. I truly do. I don't believe, you know, that it's by chance that you're saved. Maybe you're here today and you've said that prayer, but you just don't know. Come and make it right. Maybe you've been baptized. You know, baptism don't save you. But following Jesus does.